This is Chris Bricker, and welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. On alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Javon Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments and new paradigms and the panorama of good work and creative thinking our vibrant communities continue to do day in and day out. Hi, Javon.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you.
As always. Jacob Parrott-Gravey is the founder of Tree Ring Consulting, which works with rural and indigenous communities around the Olympic Peninsula to build rooted economic systems that harness the value already present in people, natural resources, and entrepreneurs. Jacob studied environmental business at Evergreen State College and received his MBA in sustainable systems from the Bainbridge Graduate Institute. In his early 20s, he had a four-year stint running his own surf school in Puerto Rico called Buena Vida, or Good Life. And Jacob carries his good life attitude with him today as he continues to create economic, socially integrative, and environmental mechanisms for communities to thrive. I looked up the definition of creative entrepreneurship, and it's the ability to develop new ideas and solutions to problems, looking ahead with a bit of creative vision. I think that's important for all of us to do, and I think Siobhan would second that emotion.
Yes, indeed.
First of all, I want to talk a little bit about your involvement with the Economic Development Council.
Well, hi, Chris and Siobhan. Thank you for having me here today. Yeah, so about 6 months ago now, I started a project with the Economic Development Council, Team Jefferson EDC, to really identify and highlight ways to support creative entrepreneurs, or also you can think of them as makers, you know, all the different businesses in the county who are really making products, who are making crafts, who are, you know, at different stages. And it's really intentional about wanting to find ways to support them and really kind of strengthen that local maker economy.
That's been such a huge part of who we've been as a community, I think, the local makers. Tell us about what you're finding out in the community. Are they thriving? Are they growing as a sector, shrinking? What's going on out there?
So I've interviewed 30 different makers so far in both East, West, and kind of South Jefferson County. And really, it's amazing, one, how many makers there are and all the different stages and all the different products that are coming out of here. Sometimes I've been really impressed and inspired about some of the different businesses that exist that are world renowned and they're operating out of Jefferson County. Pretty amazing. There's also a lot of young makers who are, you know, in the first kind of 3 years of business, kind of these micro enterprises who are really trying to grow and scale and make a life and a living for them and their families here. Part of the assumption is that, you know, this maker culture in Jefferson County are really integrated and have been for a very long time. It's what makes Jefferson County unique and special and why a lot of people are drawn to this place. And I think part of the intention here is that, you know, we have to nurture the makers if we want that culture to stay intertwined and stay connected. And so this is an approach and a program or a pilot really looking at finding from the makers themselves. So, you know, really hearing their voice and hearing their needs about what's important and what would help them take the next step in their business and or engagement in the community.
What made the most impression to you as you were looking around and seeing all of these wonderful things happening?
One, I think, is, you know, as I mentioned, just the vast number of makers and really the diversity, like how some of them are really focused in food, some of them in technology, some of them in marine or wood. A lot of these sectors are connected to some of the kind of the natural resource or the kind of historical, I guess I'm thinking, you know, around sailing and around, you know, like the Boat Haven Marina and these epicenters or people around wood and knowing that forestry has been so important in this area, sometimes around fisheries as well. And so really, you know, a lot of these makers are utilizing different aspects of natural resources that exist here. And some of them are just incredibly creative and making and finding totally new and wild ways of kind of contributing their knowledge or their product to markets that don't exist even here locally. So really, again, that wide spectrum and wide gambit of who's doing what and where their customers and where their products are going.
It's quite an adventure for you to see in a consultancy format to be able to encounter these folks. I was just thinking as you were talking that the Boatyard, for example, is such a microcosm of so many talents and so many crafts and so much ability, but it's all sharing. Everyone is sharing with one another. And I think that's quite unique for this county.
One of the kind of interesting things is that a lot of these makers want to connect with other makers. They're a lot of times somewhat isolated in their work. And I think we make assumptions, or at least I did as I was going into this, that there's already some existing maker networks. And there certainly are these micro networks that they work within each other. But there's a lot of them who aren't and who really do want to make those connections and find ways to work together to kind of elevate the whole maker market. And then also I would note that it's been an incredible pleasure going and meeting with all these makers. I try to do all my meetings in person. And so I get to go into a lot of amazing workspaces and shops and farms and just get to sit down for a while and really hear from the makers themselves where they're at, where they want to go, what's important to them, and really understanding best how to kind of support them.
I want that job, Jacob. That sounds so fun.
It's certainly been by design.
Can you tell us a little bit? I love the idea of these kind of like micro enterprises that are just starting up all the way through like really world-renowned makers that are here. Can you tell us some specifics? Like give us a couple stories about who those folks are?
One that stands out was Hansen Crafts. You know, they make these spinners for yarn, and I'm not a weaver spinner, you know, but just to see how their product has really infiltrated the international market and how highly regarded they are. And then also just the systems that they have in place. Just, it was a really beautiful illustration of a really well-run business, as well as this like unique product and product line that is, you know, it goes out all across the world and is highly regarded. Yeah, just really neat and special to have that opportunity.
Going around to encounter all of these folks, you're in a unique position. You're exploring the resources of these folks and they're not only their resources, but their needs. What do they need? And then how can one be a catalyst to help to put somebody else's needs together with someone else's needs?
I consider that the sweet spot, you know, when I'm out there and where all this overlap, you know, exists of needs, because that's really where I think it's important to invest, or it's important to find ways to really engage all these different entrepreneurs and businesses is where those common needs are. But it does vary a lot, and it depends a lot on where they are in their business. There's some folks who've been in business for 20 or 30 years and their needs are very minimal. I mean, they've created a niche, they have something good going. You know, they don't really need support with bookkeeping or web design or marketing at this stage, but they can be great resources for others. And they do have a sense, you know, whether that's through mentorship or whether that's utilizing some part of their business that might help others. You know, and if you're on the West End, having access to new markets, you know, I mean, West End is pretty isolated. And so how do we utilize this east side of the county to support the West End businesses and products? And there's a lot that exists, but it's really hard for them to find the markets. So I think we can support and incentivize them to, you know, helping connect these two sides. I drive around the peninsula almost on every week. So I spend a lot of time out there and really, you know, in building these networks. And these networks are, to me, are really critical to a lot of the work that I do. I always say when I'm working with these, you know, starting these networks, it's like, we start thinking about like, what can we do together that we can't do alone? And that's often like one of my first kind of questions that I pose, because individually it can be very hard to access markets and very hard to build a website or an e-commerce site, you know, but sometimes if we bring eight businesses together, suddenly we're able to all maybe market under an umbrella, or we're able to work together. Through this project and some others, you know, I've been supporting some of these different businesses. Like in Queets, we've created what's called Tides Co-op, which is a co-op of eight different businesses that are going out and selling products together. And so instead of individually going and setting up their own pop-up markets, they're coming together under a common brand, and different people in the co-op will take turns, you know, selling this product. So on February 11th, we're going to have our next pop-up kind of market in Queets. And instead of having to have eight different business owners be there, we'll have two of the members volunteer to sell all eight businesses' products. That's just kind of, you know, these little, sometimes really simple things can really enable that network, you know, of support.
I appreciate your remark about the West End, and it's being isolated. What do you encounter out there, especially with our Indigenous brothers and sisters?
I encountered a tremendous amount of resilience. And I'll use Queets as an example. Like, in order to kind of survive, and, you know, economically, you know, they're really good at having the circular economy. So there's all these little tiny, you know, kind of micro businesses that do different things, and they all purchase from each other, you know? And so when you look at strengthening local economies, it's really important to think about where the money going out and money coming in. And out of necessity, they've done a great job of reducing the money going out. And so again, you know, as we started some of this work around the co-op and these pop-up markets, we started thinking about, well, how do we bring money in? So that's what led to our first pop-up market just over a year ago, to try to bring in some of those tourist dollars. So they bring it in, then they recirculate it. And that's really, like, you know, a sign of a strong economy. So we've been continuing to grow and strengthen that and find ways to increase. And also, you know, a lot of times there's different leadership, you know, that exists. And so another friend of mine, Diane Feifel out there, she has a little Airbnb that they also have a little gift shop where she sells a lot of different products from the Ho tribe. And so she's really this kind of mini market that allows others to kind of be more successful, because it's really hard to make sales, and, you know, and how do you even go about it? And, you know, where do you go when you're out there? So I think these little beacons of leadership are really helpful, really anytime and anywhere, but they certainly make a big difference out there.
You're really at the beginning end of doing all of this work. I'm wondering if you would look into your crystal ball 5 or 10 years from now. What are your hopes? What are you working towards in the longer term by tilling this ground in these early days?
I really hope that, you know, Jefferson County specifically becomes a model. Okay, all the work that I do is really built around kind of creating new systems or new models, and that we can really come to prioritize and value products that are created here. And there's a quote, I can't identify the person, but, you know, you vote with your dollars. You know, every time you spend a dollar, you're voting. And so if you're sending those dollars outside of our community, it has a negative impact to our local community. So if we can find ways to increase this buy local mentality, like to the next level or next few levels, where we're really being intentional about purchasing from these local makers and products, that money sticks around, that money goes back and continues to circulate. It's more of a metaphor than anything else, but, you know, just thinking about this idea of like a rolling pin, if there's a business here in Jefferson County that makes a rolling pin for baking, or like every single person in the county should own a baking pin. Like, why would you want something from outside of it? It should be like this thing that, you know, where there that supports a business. If one business is just making rolling pins and everybody is buying those rolling pins, and that's made out of local wood, like, again, you start seeing these secondary and tertiary benefits that really create a lot of value. So my hope, you know, is that we find ways to be more intentional about our purchasing here, to really strengthen. We're connecting the food systems and the maker systems, and doing that under maybe a common campaign or umbrella that really helps us. And that when, as new people are moving here, we're setting our intention for, as people move in, new people move in, that, hey, this is what we do in Jefferson County. We really try to focus. And so that we have such a strong culture that as new people come in, they're as being wanting to be part of Jefferson County, they're adopting that culture. So I think if we can really strengthen that, it's really going to help not only the makers, but it'll make everybody here even happier to be here.
To introduce them to maybe a kind of entrepreneurial and economic culture that they may have forgotten about.
I agree. I think that they're moving here for that reason. So now we just tell them, hey, here's how we want you to participate. You know, here's how we want you to engage. And I think that can be a really powerful tool. Kind of a side note is every single maker I've talked to, you know, we talk about challenges, opportunities, you know, needs. First, everybody feels the need to be like, I just got to say housing, we can move on. But, you know, housing is, you know, is something that every single maker has brought up, you know, that the challenges. And I know we're not here to fix that on this program right now. And I know there's a lot of dedicated organizations are really trying to look at that. But that is, you know, one of those critical components that is really going to allow these makers to be able to continue to be here and thrive here. Not a unique challenge to hear, but certainly a challenge.
It's really important peripheral things that are needed to weave the county together in a creative way and a sustainable way.
So let's talk about how our community can engage in what you're doing. I guess there's kind of three possible ways. One is, like, if you're a creative entrepreneur, can folks contact you? Or if I wanted to buy something from a creative entrepreneur, how would I find out what's available here? And then more broadly, are there supports that you could use from the community in your work to build the network or to support these important small businesses?
So certainly if there's a creative entrepreneur maker out there, I'd love to hear from them. As I say, I've interviewed 30, and my goal is to do 50. So I have about 20 more spots. And so I'd love to hear and connect with as many makers that would like to. So a lot of the work that I do, I consider it community-led. So I'm not trying to go into the maker community and say, here's what I think should be done to support you. I try to source that vision and leadership from the makers themselves. And so that's really important so that it's really anchored in the community, that what comes to fruition is an extension of where how the makers might want to work together, you know, through a network and independently. So one of the things that I feel comfortable saying is needed is marketplaces. It's just more ability to sell some of these products. Like if there was a collective marketplace, you know, a marketplace that sold, you know, Jefferson County, you know, makers products, where they could really be there to kind of help be that gateway for individuals or, you know, or tourists that want to buy, you know, these local products. So I see that as you know, something key in the future. As far as like customers, I think just let me give you my own example. So this Christmas, partly because of all this work I've been doing with makers, I made this commitment to, you know, only buy presents that were from local makers. And so that was something that I did as to try to kind of walk my talk. And all these different businesses that I met with, I went and picked up different presents. I went and, you know, connected with them, and for my kids and wife and parents, and everybody got, you know, different products from local makers. And so I think just sometimes it takes a little bit more effort. It meant a lot to me to do it. And I know it meant a lot for the receivers to get something that had a story, that had a place, that, you know, had a person that I could tell them about. You know, I think those are the short-term things. And I think once this project kind of really culminates and comes together, you know, towards the end, it's really going to be about, you know, how to make sure that these makers are visible. Because I think that's part of it, is there's all these makers and people don't know they exist or they're there. And so I think there's a supply of products and I think there's a demand for those products. And so the challenge is, how do we create that connection? How do we create that value chain to be able to connect both sides? So I think that's one of the unique challenges, and whether that's through a common marketing or a, you know, a common brand or a online marketplace or, you know, a brick and mortar market, or, you know, or just doing some, they can like kind of like show, you know, a weekend where all the makers open up their workshops to, you know, let people come and visit. And I also want to note that a lot of these makers noted that visibility is one of the things they really want. They want to be more visible in the community. So trying to find ways to help do that would be, I think, really key.
It's not only those kinds of encounters that promote that sustainability, but also the whole idea of mentorship and apprenticeship. You know, there might be people that come to see something that's been created by somebody else that really, really wants to learn. And it not only becomes a healthy and sustainable economy, but it also becomes a learning and apprenticeship environment that I think goes hand in hand with what Jefferson County is all about.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many skills here. And so it's like, how do we continue to pass those skills on and make opportunities for the youth and for, you know, these younger generations to be able to like to help pass that knowledge on, whether it's from sale making to furniture making, you name it. I mean, there's so much of that exists. And I think part of it is trying to help carry that on. There's going to be new and there's going to be old. And I think both of them are valuable and important to care for.
I think that's so important in an economy that's so largely driven by tourism, where the jobs are seasonal and frequently minimum wage. And so I think like the idea of creating a pool of new opportunities that it's craft driven is just really, really exciting. Jacob, how can local makers get in touch with you if they want to connect?
Jacob, J-A-C-O-B dot P dot Cravey, C-R-A-V-E-Y at gmail.com.
Jacob Parrott Cravey, working with rural and indigenous communities around the Olympic Peninsula to build those rooted economic systems that harness the value already present in people. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us here on Community Tides.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Community Tides. Bye, Siobhan.
Bye, Chris.